Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the show, brought to you with Levi Solicitors, levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball for your 10% discount on your legal fees. You may notice we sound a little bit more relaxed today. Dan with you, with Michael and Moscow White for Propaganda, the show where we find out what's been said about Leeds United by you and by the opposition. Final one for this season, mercifully for this season. And are you doing Zen maneuvers? Is this yogic positions, Moscow?
Meditating. Okay. I'm finally relaxed enough to relax.
A heads up, if you're a TSB Plus member, look out for Propaganda Extra in your podcast feed and on the website. You get bonus bits of propaganda, the stuff that we couldn't fit into this show. First, let's get the Leeds United fan opinion then off the back of our glorious victory at Brentford. We'll do the Brentford fans in part two. Mm-hmm. Got some good stuff there. Nice. So lots of feelings at the weekend. Did you have lots of feelings?
There was all the same feeling,
yeah.
Which was bloody hell, eh? That was a bit close.
Do you feel happier now rather than relieved? What's the general mood now we are recording on Tuesday morning?
Well, you've just told us that Rafinha's been offered a new contract, which I'm sure he will sign, and that'll be the start of our glorious summer. Yep. So, yeah, much better. No, it's just still relief. It was nice waking up the morning after, and the first thing he thought was, We've not gone down. That's nice. That is nice. Because I know if we had, it would have been the first thing I thought of still. It would have been time to put a brave face on this.
Yeah. For now, for another few months.
Relief is probably, yeah. But glad that we got there in a happy way as well. In the end, after seeing Everton get their big avoided it celebration and the party, and Frank Lampard somehow managed to get so hammered within 5 minutes of the final whistle that he's in the dressing room going, shut. Seamus, he's amazing. Like, how did he get so? Was he drinking during the match? I don't know. Anyway, but we got some of that. I mean, we had Jesse Marsh's video as well. Where it's like, guys. So that seems to be what everybody does now.
Did you see the jump cut in that, by the way? The video in the dressing room. It's worth going and looking at. There's a very pronounced jump cut in that. I want to know what they've cut out of that. I'm fairly sure it's leading into a point about the fans. It's like, fuck the fans. And they thought, okay, I can't stay in, Jesse.
Maybe it was Gandhi.
Maybe so.
Mother Teresa, you were asking for us to stay up.
To the comments then, we've got loads, obviously, from our TSB Plus members. I'm going to start on this one from Rodrigo's Tiny Pants, and Tiny Pants they were. Just glad it's over. I think that those four words sum it up perfectly. I think it's been stressful.
Yeah, as West Stand Ralph as well, I think, is quite right to point this out. Moscow said at the start as well that you said that a relegation fight would be more exciting than last season's ninth. Maybe that's the case, but I don't think my body can cope again. And it was exciting.
Yeah, we did kind of get what we signed up for when we came up, but the other way around of the nail-biting last day, staying in the division 17th place fun and frolics, but also the ninth place cruising it, we'll build for Europe next season. Just they went the other way around. And I suppose if you want to look at it through a COVID perspective, maybe it's better that fans were there for this. You know, if we'd had this at the end of last season, there would have been the maximum 10,000 people against West Brom, and still very kind of restricted on how people could enjoy it and experience it. So we had the mid-table then, when it didn't really matter in the sense of people being able there to experience it, and here we got it. So yeah, we'll see how we go from here in the Premier League, whether we get that kind of feelings again.
Can't we just be mediocre just for 1 year?
You say that, but I bet come January and we're 10th and we can't get into Europe, we're not going to get relegated. Everyone's going to go, bit boring, this, isn't it?
We will say it's a bit boring.
Which will be the same as the whole finished 17th, where it was like, as long as we finish 17th, everything's fine. And then when we were 15th, it's like, get Bielsa out, sack everybody, burn the club down, everybody's got to go, this has to change. So it's kind of everything, the alternative always looks better, doesn't it? And then you just got to take what you get. Mm. And I think Sunday was a big sort of sense of taking what you can get, that we celebrate what we didn't do, which was get relegated.
A season to forget, but a last day to remember, says Howlin' Rick.
That could be the DVD title.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was the one before we went... Was it the first season in the Championship under Blackwell, or was it the one before that when it was called something like a few games, something to build on?
Wins, a few goals.
Nobody died.
It's just like, well, wasn't very good that. It might as well have been called.
I am an owner of the 1996-97 season review on VHS.
Goal fest.
A hard watch.
Was it 32 goals that season?
I think so.
Was it not 29?
I can't remember. It was not many. But you get to see all of Ian Rush's.
Yes.
All three of those.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Philip, open brackets, let's not do any of that again, please. Close brackets, Christ! What a fuck bag of a season, but we survived, so yo! I think that says.
Thank fuck it's over. Another name there as well, just pointing out closure as well and saying Bielsa and the great things he did for the club remain intact and we can now look to the future whilst treasuring his achievements. But I think he's important as well because I really did hate the idea that we'd just go back to it and Luke Ayling and Stuart Dallas and Click and all the things that Calvin did in staying to get us up and all this. You sort of think, you get to the end of it, you go, really sorry, Calvin, you should have gone a few years ago. Like,
yeah. What have you been doing?
Just wasted your time here, haven't we? Sorry about
Villa
that.
Villa seemed to be having a great time.
I mean, he had the nice England bit in the middle, didn't he? So it has been worthwhile and there was fun times along the way, obviously, but you can't help but feel it would have been... It would have been like a really horrible bookend to the Bielsa era.
And there's the impact as well. There's been a bit in the paper from kind of civic leaders and business leaders pointing out that, you know, in a harsh economic environment, the city having a Premier League club and still having even just Premier League teams coming to hotels and using what the city has to offer and then the fans that they bring and tourists wanting to come and all that kind of stuff that Huddersfield no longer benefits from. Counts and losing after 16 years of not having Premier League status to lose it within two.
It'd have been annoying, I feel.
Yeah, I mean, there's always the thing of like we were probably better placed to come back than we were in 2004 because there's not the, and we're better placed than Burnley, for example.
I mean, the context back then was that we actually couldn't afford to sell players because it would have meant we lost money. It cost us money to sell players, such as the collapse in the transfer market and the way that the transfer fees had been leveraged against borrowing and stuff. It was mental, wasn't it?
So the opportunity for us next season to do a Fulham or to do a Norwich and just come back up was there, but it's a risk and it's much easier to do your rebuilding in the Premier League, I think. And also, you don't have to go to Reading on a Tuesday night and it's not your 43rd match of the season.
So glad about the midweek games. That's such a relief. Keith Ingham, hardcore square baller Keith. I think it's Keith's birthday as well. So if it is Keith, many happy returns.
Happy birthday.
Just sums it up by saying, bloody hell, lads, don't they half put us through the mangle? They do. Silvery leads to leave until injury time to guarantee safety. I think.
Us and Mars tits.
Yeah, somebody,
quote Ken Bates.
Through the mangle. Somebody pointed out, I may have predicted it'll go to the very last minute of the very last game. But I mean, I'm going to fall back on the old stopped clock principle here. That
I mean, it didn't in a way.
No, it would have been nice if it did, wouldn't it? Imagine if Burnley had scored and thought, oh, we're staying up. And then Jackie went and scored. It would have been unreal. But
I think the margins are a little too fine on that for my liking.
Are you just happy it happened?
It was edgy enough as it was.
There's a detail as well of Thomas Frank stalking all his post-match interviews, whinging about it should have been disallowed for offside. Just shut your face.
There was a horrible bit during the game, which we didn't touch on actually, because there was a slight lag in the stream and it was Canos had been, I think he was getting sent off at the time and you were looking at your phone and you were talking about why he'd taken his shirt off. And then there was a pause while you read something on your phone and you said a goal against Leeds. And I thought they'd scored again, but actually you're referring to Canos being booked for scoring a goal against Leeds. And there was a little moment where my whole world just crumbled and I was like, scored again.
It's just been tweeted to us, by the way. Somebody's pointed out in The Sun, I think it is, there's a little sidebar in The Sun suggesting that players shouldn't perhaps be booked for showing their man bra because they're covering the boobies, which this is coming from The Sun, by the way. Yeah, ridiculous. Saying that, so if he hadn't been sent off, then Leeds might not have won and Leeds might have gone down.
Free the nipple, I say.
Absolutely, an absolutely ridiculous Moscow shaking his head disapprovingly. It's the most ridiculous bit of logic I think I've ever seen.
I do find the being booked for taking your shirt off thing a bit odd, because you can take your shirt off quickly if you want. Like, the idea is that it kind of delays things, but some players do other things that take forever.
Yeah. Are you going on holiday? You've been on holiday, haven't you? You're going on holiday later in the summer? You should carry a yellow card to the beach. Start walking around booking people as they arrive for taking the shirts off. Or did the judge make you stop doing that last time?
Not allowed on.
So on and so forth. Lee and Cheese says, I don't know about you guys, but I'm ready to enjoy a healthy, solid, fibrous and anxious-free poo for the first time since Christmas. Yeah, it has been a bit like that, hasn't it?
A bit like that. I don't know what to do with the calm. That's the thing. It's Tuesday morning and Monday night. I know there were some games on, but there wasn't like a football match that was bothering me. Which,
there's been one every day, hasn't there, basically, in the run-up to this?
Yeah.
And now it's just gone.
The last few weeks of Wednesdays and Tuesdays and Mondays and Thursdays, and there's always a game, and particularly last week, and even the days like Friday and Saturday, when there wasn't a game, there was an impending match, and Sunday was always unavoidable, and it's the first time for ages where I was like, there's not actually, I can't just like shove some random game on and pretend not to care.
How long was Sunday, by the way, as a whole? Like, oh, from the moment of waking up, just being like,
I went for a walk in the morning, and then I walked down here and spent the time listening to, getting through my Jesse Marsh podcast library. So I walked here listening to Jesse Marsh on a podcast called.
Did you have to play them on double speed to get through it all?
I have actually. I speed them up so I can. I've tried to count it up. I think I've listened to somewhere near 15 hours worth of Jesse Marsh podcast. It was the Heroic Mindset one that I was listening to.
Have you come out of it with clarity?
I've listened to them, let's say that. I have listened with an open mind.
Yeah.
I want you to, are you being more of a son of a bitch now?
I don't know. I just feel like, I think, you know, it doesn't do any favours to listen to that many in a compressed amount of time, but to get through them, that's necessary. But I feel like I've heard the same stories of him like sleeping on Bob Bradley's couch when they went on the round the world trip so many times. Like, you know, we didn't stay in a Hyatt, we didn't stay in a Marriott, we just slept on people's sofas. It's like, well, Bob Bradley, the manager of Egypt, it's not, you weren't slumming it. But yeah, I've heard that from so many different perspectives. I'm just like, my mind is filled with
images of sleeping couch. Jesse Marsh. We'll get to Jesse Marsh in a minute, actually. Wisconsin Todd, just feedback on the match ball, says it was appropriately chaotic. An audio version of the adrenaline that was coursing through all of our veins. It was ridiculous. I mean, as I relayed my story of my journey back and forth to Flamborough and trying to listen on the radio in the car park here, but also watching it on a slight delay on the app on my phone. And it was a very confusing day.
Well, did we properly discuss how we watched Jackie's goal, that we didn't see it because there's
I think we did mention it.
The video, but did we talk about the replay, that the replay completely like kept skipping?
Yeah.
I can't, but that's...
Well, I was sat in the car park and the instant that went in, I went, yes. And then I thought, well, I can run in now and I can watch it on the stream and celebrate with you guys because this is the moment that we're staying up. And it was ruined by the fact that the stream went down, didn't it? Just as he was putting it in. But you'd picked up on it on your phone, Moscow.
We knew it had happened. It was just wanting to see it. And then when the replays came up and the bit of the replay with the actual goal on it just skipped.
It wasn't having it, was it?
So I eventually saw it later. A good finish.
It was, yeah.
Very brave from Jackie.
There was a big deflection on it. The XG on that chance, 0.02, by the way. So it only goes in 2% of the time.
He did the thing that it really needed in that moment, which was volley it low.
Put your foot through it low.
Low. Because we'd already seen Firpo in that position, put it out of the stand.
Greenwood had one in the first half that was spectacularly over.
Yeah, and it's so easy to do. And we know Harrison, the big criticism he always gets, even though he scored, is it 8 goals this year in 2022, is always like his final ball and stuff. He hit it low. And once it was low, it had a chance of going in and it worked. And well done him.
Michael, you're the man for the accents, aren't you? Riley's comment there on the match ball feedback, the bottom one. Could you read that in Riley's voice, please?
Where's it go? Melbourne.
Yes, the one in...
I mean, I don't know regional Australian. It's going to be very much generic Australian.
It's a bit like your Scots accent. It's very just generic drunk Scotsman.
It's generic Scotsman,
Melbourne,
yes.
Is neighbours.
Melbourne.
What else is
Melbourne.
It called?
Melbourne. It's Melbourne.
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 Melbourne, mate.
Melbourne.
It's 6:45 on Monday. The time of riding here in Melbourne.
You're trying to fight off Tony DiRigo there, aren't you?
No. I had 6 hours sleep since Friday night. The match was a 1 a.m. kickoff here and adrenaline kicked me up. Kicked me up? That's South Africa. kicked me up all night afterwards and right throughout the day at work. I'm getting delusional, but I fucking love you all. No idea how I'm going to survive this season, not to mention the last 2 years of lockdowns without the podcast.
Oh, thank you, Riley.
And what does Riley get for all that? The piss taken out
A lovely version of his accent, which I'm sure is almost entirely accurate, and not apart from the little bit by Johannesburg.
And not insulting at all.
Dan made me do it.
This is it. He's the worst of us.
Jesse Marsh, then. We had a few comments in about Jesse Marsh, who, let's face it, has achieved what he was brought in to achieve, despite his own misgivings about coming in and doing it. So we have to give him credit, don't we?
Job done.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now is it clean slate? That's what we did the Phil Hayes show yesterday, but like we did it out of order this week because of the walk later on in the week. But by whatever means necessary, he's got us there. I mean, it's not been pretty at times, but is it now that we wipe the slate clean?
I did think we were going down under Bielsa, and we haven't gone down.
Yeah.
And we've actually stayed up with more points than I thought we would get and would need to stay up. I thought we were probably about 5 or 6 points better off than I imagined we would be. So, yeah, you've got to say, fair enough. And he has turned it around in the last couple of games as well. I think the style of play and the width has returned, and I think that has been far, far better to watch in the last couple of games.
Said that to Phil yesterday, didn't I? Asked him, do you think he's learned in the last couple of games? Do you think so, Moscow?
Yes. And so what point you want that to happen? Because you feel like if he'd done that for the Southampton and Palace games, if we'd played like that, we could have been done and dusted a few weeks ago. But we got there in the end, and it's kind of, and again, this sounds like I'm giving him no credit, and I don't mean it to, but this is actually to his credit. The higher points total has things to do, I think, with the way that Burnley and Everton kept coming back from the dead.
Yeah.
So we needed a higher points total in the end. And so it's to his credit in that sense that we didn't just need 32 points or something to stay up. The points total kept going up, and he had to keep getting more and more points, and we got them. I think the thing with him having learnt, and the whole like wiping the slate clean business, is this: I've seen too much in what he's done so far that is the things that he likes and the things that he does at his other clubs. So as well as listening to his podcasts, I've been watching like his coaching webinars to learn, you know, what style of play he favours, and watching New York Red Bulls games and watching that goddamn Red Bull documentary. And bear in mind, like, I hate everything about Red Bull. So I've been putting myself through to try and learn what it is. But there's a lot in that he's been trying to do with us. And I don't think it's going to be a case of, you know, next season we'll stick with the last two games. I think it'll be he'll try and make that work properly. And I think if Brendan Aaronson is a Jesse Marsh player, absolutely suits what he does. And if Rafinha goes, Aaronson will probably, I don't know if he'll take the shirt number, but he'll be the player who takes over from Rafinha as this attacking creator. But he's a narrow player. It'll be two tens. Brendan Aaronson will come in to do a narrow job. So I think just because width, in the end, he realised width suited what this team needed now, because that's what the team had, I think we'll see probably something closer to what he was trying to do next season.
I'm intrigued to see if he moves away from any of the Red Bull ideas, because he's been in that group for a while and he's described himself as a company man. And it feels like, from listening to, I've not listened to anything like as much as you, but it feels like at some point he sat down with Ralf Rangnick and went, yeah, I'm going to do all that. And not necessarily all that much of it is necessarily his own idea. It's kind of, he's been taught how to do this particular system and he's been trying to do it. But maybe if he's outside of that model, he can go, oh, actually, maybe these players are better at wide. I mean,
you'd worry about a coach who didn't continue to learn and evolve his style as well, wouldn't you? Like, if you look at what Rangnick's done at Man United, which has tried to fit the template to them twats, and it's not worked at all, is it? They're just not interested.
And there was no need to evolve it until he got to Leipzig and it didn't work because it was successful.
Yeah.
All he tried to do at Leipzig was try to do it.
Mm.
And
still within the Red Bull group though, wasn't it?
Then Leipzig have changed. So Leipzig have moved away from the Red Bull ideal and Marsh came in. But just don't, before you move on, he's asked about this on one of the podcasts from, I think it's, must be the season, last season, I think it's, he's at Salzburg speaking to some American podcast, and they ask him, they say, listen, you're really associated with this style of play, this aggressive attacking Red Bull style. Is it because that's the Red Bull way? Is it because that's the players you've got? Is it something... Or is this what you really believe in? And his answer is, and I quote, it's the right way, baby.
Okay.
So I take from that that he really he believes, and he goes on to explain it, he really believes in this style of play that he has at Red Bull. And on some of his other podcasts, he talks about Bob Bradley and working with him in the United States national team, which is before he entered the Red Bull world. That was some of those ideas were there. And then when he got to Red Bull and Ralf Rangnick was talking about it, it's like, oh, this is what we've been doing in the men's national team with Bob Bradley, of like this high turnover, high pressing, winning, aggressive, win the ball in their half around their penalty area and score. So it's something that he's really gone to. And it's also what Angus Kinnear said he was coming in to do, of like this aggressive pressing thing is the perfect way to evolve from Marcelo Bielsa's style of football. So I think everything points toward next season, we'll go narrow and we'll try doing that with his players, with best players who are better suited to it. Maybe it'll look a lot better than it has done with like 25 wingers all trying to work out how to play through the middle.
I think I wasn't going to move on. I was actually just going to sort of filter some comments into it. Like Nathaniel says, I know you've had your anti-Marsh agenda for weeks, but I was still very disappointed for years to give him pretty much no credit for getting us to an incredibly unlikely 38 points and doing his job. Give him some praise for fuck's sake, lads. And then a couple further down, We Are Staying Up says, come on, lads, if you were told that Marsh would keep us up with 38 points, you'd be buzzing. So why are you giving him so little praise? He said it himself, that he's had to compromise on his style to grind out points, which he's done. I hope you credit his brilliant job in the next pod. He deserves it. But then the next one under that, someone give Greenwood a razor. Glad Jesse listens to your podcast and let the lads play wide because we looked much more confident and we actually created chances. And fingers crossed he gets rid of his Red Bull skinny wiener formation next season. I think the truth is that it lies somewhere in the middle, doesn't it? Is that there have been genuine, I think, fair criticisms of what he's come in and tried to do at points this season. But he is also due a lot of praise for whether it's, you know, he's evolved the style or learned or changed it slightly to accommodate these players. He did it and he got us over the line. So I think full credit to him for doing it within the 12 games and us having enough to get over the line. And I think, yeah, 38 points now looks really good, and it, credit to him.
It's
for
going
that.
Over something I said yesterday, but just to go over the wins he's had, though, I suppose. I guess that's where the concern comes from, because it was, we almost threw it away against Norwich. We were pretty shit against Watford until the last 20 minutes when they gave up. And then we've beaten a 10-man Wolves team and a 9-man Brentford team. So there aren't really any good performances in there.
So the best way to describe it is maybe there's a lack of a body of evidence that the style works. However, what we've done has been enough to get us over the line. Mm. So he definitely, this is what I'm talking about, a clean slate, and what you were on about there, Moscow, feeds into it. So when he's got his players and a chance to bed the ideas in, we can then, from the start of next season, with all that stress, the stresses that he's talked about being removed, wipe it all clean. Now's your chance to go and beat Jesse Marsh.
And I think we'll be fine. Like I would be surprised if we were lower than mid-table next season with him doing what he wants to do. I don't have an agenda against him. I don't think, it's such a weird way of looking at things. I've said quite often that he's just not really my type of guy. You know, we've had lots of managers here who have not been my type of guy, and we still turn up and I hope we win. I lived through Dennis Wise being our manager, for example.
I mean, God, we had a summer where we all agreed Steve Evans should probably keep his job.
Just even though I hated just his because guts.
Well, we all hated him, basically.
He's a convicted fraudster.
But we all went, well, who else is going to fucking have
I think
it?
Yeah.
So there's
him.
That. And then there's also the style of football doesn't appeal to me. Like, it's not, like, I hope it works and I hope we'll win, but it's not going to be, it doesn't appeal to the things I like. So that's just me, and that's just the way I feel about things. But the credit part, and I was even saying this in the Chelsea match, I like the fact that he has been flexible in the last few weeks. When Chelsea, we played them and we were, or was it the Man City game first, when we went three at the back and with essentially five before it became so ridiculous that Rafinha was right wing back. It was like, cool, it's a different formation. It's something I always kind of missed under Bielsa, was seeing a team at 2 o'clock on Saturday and going, oh, I wonder how this is going to work out. I wonder where that player's going to play there. I like that about him. And he does use different formations to kind of achieve the similar ends, the style of play that he prefers. But there's that kind of something a bit more responsive. I really loved and admired Bielsa's attitude of, no, we just play the way we play and we make them worry about us. But I also can see the benefits and the credit in reacting to what the other team might do and having a plan that suits game from game. It's just different things, and I don't have to like him.
Yeah,
it's fine.
I was going to say
just because he doesn't appeal to me personally doesn't mean I don't want him to succeed and win loads of games, because I just want to turn up on Saturday and see Leeds win every game 10-0. It'd be perfect.
I said to Phil yesterday when we recorded the Phil Hirsch show, do you think he just suffers from being not Bielsa? And that's true as well. That's a truism built into this, that Bielsa was, in many ways, he's like the sacred cow, isn't he? You almost can't criticise him because he's such a wholesome character. But his football wasn't without really, really obvious flaws, particularly towards the end. But in terms of his character, he's almost untouchable, isn't he? So we've kind of elevated the position of Leeds United manager to almost untouchable deity now. So people are saying you've got an anti-Marsh agenda. No, I remain unconvinced, but I've got an open mind as to what happens here. Because I think the football's been quite difficult to watch. But he's got us there and I'm absolutely delighted.
And essentially, I've been unconvinced by every Leeds manager for the last 20 years main. There's not been many I've been like, even the good times like under Grayson, there were many points under Grayson you were like, just sort the fucking defence out. Yeah. Like, what on earth is this?
And I think it's easy to fall into a trap with Bielsa as well because it was so attractive and we still, like you were saying about, you know, the number of chances that we created against Tottenham despite losing 4-0. It kind of mashed our brains a little bit, didn't it? Because we were still creating lots of stuff going forward, but ridiculously porous at the back. A bit like, you know, like Keegan's Newcastle were, wasn't it? It was like flawed genius almost.
It's part of the sadness of Bielsa going.
So there's still a lot to love, but even though it was leaving us ridiculously weak at the back.
Yeah, we're back to being ordinary. And I think, I wonder how Man City, I mean, it's funny, you listen to those like City Extra kids and they're like criticising Pep Guardiola for doing X and Y. And like, I mean, Pep Guardiola's track record, you almost can't really criticise him because you know he's probably right in the end. And so it's really difficult and you only get those managers quite rarely. I think Bielsa was one where he just was elevated to this point of view where he's so transparent in what he's trying to do and so clear and it's so kind of, the results are what they are until this season, but there's kind of just that feeling of, yeah, you can't criticise it. And it held everything together so that everything became this weird kind of untouchable pearl. This is much more like, now he's gone.
This is recognisable, isn't it?
It's much more like football before Bielsa came here, which isn't just like the contrast from Heckingbottom to Bielsa. It's you know, all the years.
The culture, I've ever been the culture, a football isn't it?
Fan, yeah, yeah. Where the players are either brilliant if they win or they're all absolutely terrible if we lose. No matter win, lose or draw, the manager is an idiot who always picks the wrong team and the board of directors are a bunch of tight arses who couldn't organise a piss up in a brewery. That's football.
Yeah.
That's football. You get somebody like Bielsa, I'm not putting him in the kind of the achievement bracket of Pep Guardiola, or it's interesting that Pep Guardiola puts him in the same bracket as him when he talks about him. But you get those for a while where you just kind of like...
It transcends it, doesn't it? I've used the word transcend, yeah.
It lifts it out of that and it works for everybody. Like you wouldn't criticise the board while Bielsa was here because everything is just kind of just working in this incredible way where you just like, you almost can't touch it. This is just normal now where it's like you just, every single game, the manager, yeah, so that dickhead just picked the wrong team on Saturday. And that's how I'm very much more used to understanding football. So it's kind of like it's not a anti-Marsh thing. It's this is how I've always followed football and understood the game to be.
I think it'll look more normal next year as well, insofar as I completely expect them to expand the squad. So there is more cover. There is like-for-like cover in positions. So
more square pegs in square holes.
So it isn't a case of going, right, okay, well, you know, he's injured, so they move from midfield. They got a left back. That all moves around. We'll have a striker on the bench. So when we're losing games, you'll just stick another striker on, which is what most teams do. But again, quite normal. Yeah. Just stick a big man up, stick someone quick on. That's this kind of standard football team trying to score a goal move, isn't it? Just put someone quick on, put someone big on, get it in the box, get them to run in behind, and we'll probably do stuff like that.
Yeah.
And
sometimes it'll work, sometimes it won't.
Rather than bringing like Alioski on at left back to change a game, or Tyler Roberts on at number 10, it'll be it might. Because in some ways, those things were bloody frustrating under Bielsa. We idealise it, but sometimes you make subs and you'd be like, just put fucking Gelhardt on, please.
Yeah.
Like, we need a goal there. Stop bringing Tyler Roberts on, or stop bringing Rodrigo on, someone who has zero goal threat.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to those aspects. When I say Marsh's football doesn't really appeal to me sort of as a concept, I can see the things in it that are good, where when we do win a ball high and within 8 seconds it's in the net, what an exhilarating rush. If we keep doing that next season, it works. Fantastic. We'll score loads of goals and it'll be great. And I'm interested and sort of moderately optimistic that is going to be quite successful for us. So, you know, I am looking forward to seeing what it's going to be like next year with new players. If we get Brendan Aaronson, it looks new, exciting, young, fresh, different player. Different style. Let's see what he can do. I'm looking forward to seeing some of these things.
Yeah, it's a new chapter. It's a new chapter, isn't it?
Yes.
That's the thing. And we can be excited about that. I think now we've got that 12 games out of the way, we can probably just consign that to history and never speak about it again. And this is the start point for me for Marsh. And what I do like is that the players have said on record that he's come in and made them believe more, like he's lifted their spirits. So if that's all they needed to get us over the line to dig out that performance against Brentford, then brilliant, I think.
Yeah. I mean, the whole the Gandhi gate thing started with Jack Harrison saying how good that was. So he showed us a quote from Gandhi before the match, and that got us going. Admittedly, then the first 10 minutes we conceded two and had a player sent off. But he was happy about it. And then so sort of our opinions on it, the way, you know, if I think it's a bit cringe, I actually thought it was fine myself, because people do that kind of thing. They show quotes to people.
I think the problem is probably being a little bit overexposed in the run-in, and you almost wish you could have said to him, don't do any interviews whatsoever until now. Now we're safe. Now you go do all that and talk about how you achieved it. And that's fine. I think it's just because all our anxieties about staying up were transferred into every little aspect of what he did and people were saying.
And there is, yesterday he managed to fit in another podcast interview between Sunday and Tuesday, where he's talking about the xenophobic reaction to him, and he can't say anything as an American, particularly talking about the Man City 4-0 felt like a win thing. But there has been coverage in America itself of people saying, Jesse, you're being a bit too American. You need to just dial it down a bit over there, because we are hearing loads and loads of Jesse Marsh on this side of the pond, and you're kind of making us look a little bit bad. You need to just, like, all this Gandhi stuff, we're hearing too much Jesse Marsh. Why have you suddenly taken it to 11?
But as you just said, that wasn't his fault. That was just Jackie letting it slip, you know, like
But in general, there's been a couple of sort of roundups of kind of all the interviews he's been doing and all the things he's been saying since he's moved to Leeds, and people in America. So it's not about him. It's not English people saying, oh, this Ted Lasso thing, which when people do say it is out of order. And whenever the Daily Emails, there was a match report the other week where it opened, I think it was the Telegraph opened with like Ted Lasso. I was like, right, that's the opening line. So I'm not even going to link to it. I'm not even going to tell you what the rest of it says, because it's not worth reading if that's their opening, if they can't think of anything better. I think we said right at the start, we will defend him against all of that because it's unfair. But back in America, there are people also saying, like, you know, you are our coach in the Premier League, and you could maybe be a little bit less American than you are being at the moment. So it's, he maybe could do with some self-reflection, which I think he is also a fan of.
Could we? That's the question. Let's get quickly back to this, because we are going to end up running extremely long on this otherwise. Leeds players who've been mentioned in the feedback: Sam Greenwood, Joffe, Calvin, Rodrigo, Rafa, Cock, all picked out for a number of reasons. Can I start with Cock? My name is Dan Moylan and I love Cock. Says, we need to talk about how well our German right back played. Isolated for the goal, but otherwise Cock was very solid. If he can stay fit, he'll be very big next year.
Very good.
Excellent.
I've liked him.
I didn't get that when I read it. Got it now.
I've liked him at right back, I have to say. Although I don't want to see him play the next year.
Although he did completely drift off Canos. Like, he looked at Canos. If you watch the replay, he looked at Canos and he's like, oh, you're there. And then he just sort of drifted towards the ball, just took a few steps, and then Canos took a few steps backwards, and there was enough of a gap.
He was stood where a centre back would stand, wasn't he? Which is hopefully where we'll play next year, because he's never got a decent run, has he? Because he's had so many injuries, and I guess he's, with Cooper coming back as well, he's just not ever got to play in his preferred position, has he? So
we need to laugh. Just take a momentary detour towards Canos, by the way. People laughing at, Ginger Paul in Glasgow says, can we talk about how much that little bleached bastard turned the game and then turned it back again? Hilarious, wasn't it?
You do hear of arsehole bleaching as a thing, isn't it? In the adult film industry. So maybe that's what they've done for Canos.
Wow. What an image.
Yeah, he was good, wasn't it? And he laughed about it afterwards on social media as well. He did a little, I'm never taking my shirt off again, ha ha ha, I've just cost my team thing, which was good. That seemed, and he's leaving anyway, I think, isn't he?
Oh, is he?
I think he's out of contract.
Oh, right, okay.
So I think that was kind of his last act.
Because they can't get away quick enough, can they, when they're given the chance. Who else then in the Leeds mentions that we want to mention?
Rodrigo getting...
keep it positive.
Okay, not Rodrigo. Greenwood, yes. No one has expected him to play in that position, and he did well. So, and Greenwood is one definite feather in Marsh's cap, actually, because he has used him, and he looks useful, not necessarily in the way we thought he would either, because he's playing this deeper role.
Yeah, the 4-1-4-1 that Bielsa used to play we always felt like there was a bit of shoehorning going on there. You know, with the number 10 roles, like Rodrigo never seemed to quite fit it, or number 9 or whatever it is that he's trying to achieve. And then, yeah, you saw like Greenwood played a little bit there, didn't he? And interchanged with Joffe on occasions earlier this season. So it seems like he's found a more natural fit maybe in whatever Jesse's doing.
And Joffe as well, getting a bit of praise from Si Taylor. Says he's a proper backup striker for next season. Took the goals so well, and we look so much better with him on.
He's great, isn't he? It feels like he's just quietly growing into being like proper first team material, I think, maybe for this next season. We should go in from seeing maybe going from like 10 appearances up to sort of 20 or something like that.
Yeah, and given that it's a system that has potential for two strikers as well, it's got to be good news for him, because with Bamford fit under Bielsa, you knew essentially you were not going to play. And I don't think they do the same job either. So it was never an obvious case under Bielsa's system that he would come in instead of Bamford, because he's not the same sort of player.
He's magic though, isn't he?
You can maybe see with his little lack of pace as well, of like him trying to do what Dan James does in attack, chasing down whoever is maybe not his thing.
But chances in the box.
But then, I was going to say, actually, if you watch that, the Brighton skill that led to the equaliser, one thing I don't think we picked up on at the time was the speed at which he did it. It just seemed like he was taking all the time in the world. And it just seemed like the most natural, easy thing for him to do, to just stop that ball right by the byline. You've got no space, you've got no time. It's the highest pressure situation of the season. You're into injury time. And it felt like he was just a kid in the park, just trapping the ball, lifting it over his mate's leg, scooping it up to the back post. Oh, we've scored a goal.
Yeah. I did see a point.
He's brilliant.
Friend of the podcast, Max Winkler, did notice that he's had his teeth done as well. Got really gleaming white teeth all of a sudden as Joffe. So that's nice for him.
The other thing that will help him next season as well is 5 subs. So there's much more opportunity for changes, which it just occurred to me that on Sunday when went down injured and had to come off, Brentford could have just brought another player on. So that will be different next season as well. Thomas Frank won't have to be going mad. And I hadn't realised, it was only realising later, I wasn't sure what Marsh was doing, but he was on camera like putting his palms up and pointing down the pitch. And I thought he was like saying 10 minutes left, you've got to score. But then I was looking at the clock, it was like 20 minutes left. Like, this doesn't make any sense. But he's trying to tell our team that they only had 10 players.
Yeah.
10 players, they've only got 10.
They hadn't all realised. They hadn't realised, had they?
It's crazy. It's funny how just mad it got. And then people not realising old Canos had got a red card as well. So it's just...
If we're talking Leeds players, by the way, just if you're wondering where the Rafinha chat is, it's in Heroes. He's well nominated within that. So we'll discuss him then.
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
And if you're wondering where the Rodrigo chat is, it's in Villains.
Exactly.
And just tidying up the stuff then, the miscellaneous bits of feedback that we got. Start of a massive rebuild. Graham Turville says need lots of change in the summer. One or two signings really not going to fix our lack of quality. And that's a fair comment. Part of the reason why Angus Kinnear said over the last year or two that there's a 50% chance of going down in your first two seasons is because you can't evolve your squad fast enough inside 2 years. That's why there's such a high risk. But get to your third year and then the wealth of being in the Premier League is kind of bedded in a little bit, and you can then afford to kind of kick on for your third year. So I think hopefully we
Angus Kinnear promised 500 million in the third season.
Is that correct?
I think that's what he said.
He said it was minimum spend.
I might be, you know,
we'd turn the recording off at that point, had we?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. More or less unlimited cash.
It's all Bielsa's point as well, when he was arguing with people about transfers in press conferences. He'd say, look, to buy better players than what we have needs to be £30 million, £40 million players.
But...
At the moment, we can't get into that bracket.
Yeah.
After two seasons, it should be. And it was kind of what they always, you know, there was the 2-year plan. We buy in the first summer and then we get safe and things kick on after. I mean, it was the Liverpool game where we got trounced 3-0 and Radric Zani was on the side of the pitch saying, you know, from next season, we start to build towards Europe. So everything from this summer should now be starting to build towards Europe. And that means that next bracket of players, so that when you are going for a left back, you're not looking for a £15 million Firpo, you're looking for a £30 million...
Firpo.
Yeah.
Roger Zani on the pitch gets a mention actually from Si Taylor, saying the classy move would have been to let the players and the manager have their moment alone on the pitch. I didn't agree with his pitch invasion.
It's hard to disagree with that, but equally, I don't really find it offensive. It's like, enjoy it, whatever.
It's 50-50, isn't it? Because it depends who's looking at it from which direction. If you're a fan and you don't like him, then obviously you don't want him running around the pitch, sort of taking any of the limelight. Same thing with Victor Orta. If you are Radric Čani or Victor Orta and you're standing at the side of the pitch and there's Stuart Dallas and Luke Ayling, who you've been working with for 4 years, you want to go over and congratulate them. So maybe the self-control would have been nice, and you have those moments with those players later.
I mean, you say
adrenaline's
that.
Adrenaline.
The interesting test would have been, had we gone down, would they have gone over to soak up the applause of the away fans? Would they have gone over and said, thank you for your support? Yeah. Or would they have gone, yeah, fuck this, let's get out of here?
Although, I mean, we say you might not want to see them. We didn't see Kinnear, did we? It was just Radric Čani and Orta. Would you have been averse to seeing Kinnear down there on his BMX doing laps around the Brentford Community Stadium, disrupting their lap of appreciation even further? Because have you seen the footage? We'll get onto the clips of the away fans in a bit, when they're all screaming, boo, fuck off, when Rafa was going on his knees, and they're all trying to sing Hey Jude and appreciate Canos for being sent off and things. It was great. So if we could have had Kinnear down there doing bunny hops while they were trying to walk around to Hey Jude, that would have been fun, I think, don't you?
Anything that spoiled their day. That was kind of the other big part of the payoff, is how pissed off Brentford were that they just... I don't think they ever actually got to do their lap of honour in
no,
the
they
end.
No, they did. They did.
Did they?
Yeah, there's a vlogger whose name escapes me at the minute, who I was kind of expecting to see, you know, the commentary inside the stand where they put the camera on their own face and stuff, and it wasn't. It was just footage of the game, so I ended up watching.
Was there
that.
Anybody left?
Yeah.
Because the reason I thought it hadn't happened was I saw some Brentford fans saying that they just got so pissed off with what Leeds were doing that they went home. And now it's even better, actually, that because they didn't wait, they missed it.
Oh, okay.
On Hey Jude, actually, maybe finish on Jelly. He says, the missus took the baby boy out whilst we watched the game. She came back to me, my eldest lad, 6, and my dad dancing around the room to Hey Jude at full volume in a front room full of empty Stella cans and an empty bottle of Glaver, do you say it? It's a whiskey anyway. She was fucking livid, but still congratulated us through gritting teeth. This fucking club.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
We've heard from the Leeds fans in part one. Let's find out what the opposition fans thought, shall we?
Mm.
Did they have a nice time?
Not really. They didn't like it before the game either.
Shall we start with the written word rather than hearing audio clips? I mean, this is about audio clips, but we do have some written feedback on... Was it what we said in our Brentford preview that rubbed a few of them up the wrong way?
Yeah, it was on griffinpark.org, which is a forum. I should say, in the defence of the good people of griffinpark.org, a huge amount of people were just saying, like, it was fine.
Just three idiots taking the piss.
They're just fucking about, yeah. Sort of thing. Like, don't stress about this.
Why, it's football. It's too important to fuck about.
Why on earth would you? But they were really cross. Someone saying... We are dickheads to everybody. Something to be really proud of there. Well done.
Which is our mantra. We are dickheads to everybody. That's kind of the point of the show, isn't it?
Vermin. Absolute vermin.
It's not real though, is it? It's only a game.
I'm amazed they made it to 275 freaking episodes without somebody punching their lights out. Or have they?
It's funny that, isn't it? It's funny that the only set of fans that seem to have felt this way, it's just these lot. Just these lot.
And also,
I actually want to fight somebody because they said mean things about Brentford on a podcast.
Because we
punched those people.
We said their stadium was a bit small. Wow, I'm going to kill him.
And Lego, it's a huge success. It's one of the 20th century's most forward-thinking companies. And I would love to be compared to Lego.
So for building, to build a full football stadium out of it is great.
Changed the world, that stuff.
You've misrepresented the injury crisis we've had prior to Christian Eriksen arriving at the club. Outside, I'm going to knock your head off. It's either that they want to fight over, or it's someone being a hard man on the internet forum.
What I love is this bizarre... Is it trying to claim territory? Is it trying to have an edge? It's trying to claim some sort of angle on things. Just listen, smile. And although the one with the Easter egg head is a lot more bothered by it... Is that you, Michael?
I can only assume so.
Is a lot more bothered by it being us possibly sending them down than he's prepared to admit.
I didn't want to go down.
Certainly not to Brentford, because it's a League One club, isn't it?
That is, yeah, exactly.
It would have been pretty embarrassing.
Yeah. It would have been, yeah. It'd have been like when we lost at Hereford in that League One time.
Yeah.
That sort of a...
It's Histon repeating itself, isn't it?
And the melt in the yellow T-shirt, that's you, Moscow.
Where is your Oxfam wardrobe? Was that just a... Kind
this
of... is
this. I got this from a charity shop. Square ball T-shirts are... since people read what they've been saying about us on the Griffin Park forum, they've just been...
handing them in droves.
Yeah. Nobody wants to be seen dead in this stuff anymore.
The melt in the yellow T-shirt stating that they could help demolish our old stadium. Fuck me! Little Red Riding Hood could knock his lights out.
Probably could, but that's why I would pick a fight with a rickety old stadium instead of a little girl.
It's not going to hit you back, is it?
No. Yeah. I think I could probably, you know, like smash a plastic seat up given like a couple of hours. But I don't think me versus Little Red Riding Hood is necessarily, we're not going in the ring anytime soon. So, but no beef with Little Red Riding Hood.
No. Now there are three individuals who will never have sex with anyone but themselves. The guy with the head shaped like a butt plug.
Yeah, I guess me. Although my head's not shaped like a butt plug. It's wide at the top.
Yeah. That's quite a girthy.
You need a more conical end on it.
Yeah.
Is conical the correct word?
Yeah.
Like a tapered end on it, yeah, I would say.
You don't want to be going in full width, do
it's
you?
Not for, it's not for me anyway.
That's true. Yeah.
That's blunt force trauma. It's my head.
What an image.
What a dreadful image.
Do you wake every morning knowing that your only chance of intimacy is being used as a giant sex toy?
If only I had that hope. as a married man, etc.
How many kids have you got, though?
Two.
Likewise?
Twins, though, so only one lot of sex.
Yeah. So there we go.
Which is a bit of a shame.
So, Brentford do like to be very factually accurate, we found out from their
that
media.
That is true. It's got to be true, hasn't
it? It's got to be true. So, yeah. So just for the record, Michael has procreated once to make two children. Mm-hmm. I've had two.
So that's pretty good.
No kids here, so sadly accurate. Yeah, they got me bang to rights.
Have you ever used your head as a butt plug?
Well, it's not got the Easter egg shape, though, has it?
We could get you a swimming cap and give it a go. If anyone wants to... I'd say you've got the smallest head of the three of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm proud Swede owner.
I've got a huge head. It's the last thing you need.
Is there a bag of chocolate buttons inside there? If there is.
Should we smash it open, like Moscow?
Resistance.
We've already
tried
it with Phil Hay.
Yeah, I was going to say the me trying to resist going full Phil Hay on your head is
give it a good,
tough.
Give it a shake later, see if you can hear it rattle. I mean,
they stapled him back together, so you'll survive.
Probably. Right. Who are we going to hear from right now then?
Be Sotted.
Ah, noted for banter, like in their humour.
We haven't really heard from them since your sort of pre-Christmas bouts. Well, I was off with COVID and you got a lot of beef with these, but...
It wasn't really, but it was so strange, wasn't it?
Mm. The mildest, most obvious, lazy tropes and jokes, but, you know...
Managed to avoid them until their match reviews.
Anyway, so what have they got to say then? I mean, great bunch of lads that they are.
Being nice to begin with.
Aw, bless them.
So I've got to say as well, because we do the manners, like I said to you, we got respect, we got fans that we know from all over the country. I've got Leeds mates as well, you know, stuff like that. And I say respect to Leeds and fair play to Leeds for staying up this season. That game was a wicked game today. They gave the fight, they got the goals, they got the win. And we say respect to Leeds and fair play to Leeds for staying up this season. And they're here again next season. So we go again, as they say. So you've got to tip your hat to Leeds United to fight that, because they could have gone down without a battle. And they battled us today. They got the win today. Okay, we had 9 men. That doesn't matter because we fluffed it. Sergio Canos should not have done what he did. We had the injuries. We had the substitution. And they played the game and they got the win, and that's all you have to do. So fair play to Leeds for actually getting their Premier League status again.
Oh, executed beautifully
in the end. Yeah,
we got there. Nice. I just want to check before you get into that, Moscow. Do you say please and thank you?
Yes.
Michael, do you hold doors open for people if you're going through them before them?
Always. Manners and respect.
Moscow, do you help old ladies cross the road if they need a little bit of assistance?
I mean, generally, I try, but they threaten me and they want to knock me out. It's like Little Red Riding Hood Part 2, so I just let them get on with things. It's politer to leave people be.
Tell you how polite I am. Someone asks me to smear a tub of Vaseline all over my head and get involved. I will do it.
Because that's what manners.
That's what manners is all about, isn't it?
It's good. It's, I think the role of Emily Post in modern football has been neglected, but some etiquette lessons are. It's good to be keep those involved, isn't it?
Well, it was nice to hear from Besotted there, being very magnanimous and
getting the essentially the caveat in as well ahead of hating Leeds, doing that. A lot of my best friends are Leeds fans, which is always a good way of starting something that you're going to trash later on.
Yeah.
So it's not about that. However,
this is a personal attack, right? So
anyway, so here's Rafa leaving the Rafa's
he's not leaving the pitch.
He's kind of walking. He's in the process of leaving, but he's doing his knee thing.
Which by the way, they've got no right to get upset about that because that was him communicating directly with God.
Yeah, he'd made a if people haven't had the full reveal of what that's about, it's saying thanks to God that it's basically if God grants me this wish, I will walk on my knees to thank the deity. So he's having, he's communicating. It's a little religious experience with Rafinha. And he was booed for it, was he?
Which I think feels, I think that's not manners, isn't it?
Disrespectful.
I mean, you wouldn't go down the old Anglican cathedral and start booing people, would you?
So we want to play Hey Jude and walk around clapping at a load of bricks.
Hey, I mean, this is like we're going back to 1966 with people claiming that John Lennon is God and Paul McCartney is Jesus. I thought we settled these
arguments.
Paul
McCartney died in a car crash, Matt Letizia told me.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was replaced by a lookalike.
Ah, interesting. Makes you think.
Yeah. Doesn't make you think.
So Rafa's leaving the pitch or not?
The thing is, and I'm right, but the bizarre thing about it is that, listen, we've got all this and he's on his, he's put his head down, the cameras were there with him. This is, he's got to the 18-yard box and he's going up now. This is Leeds United. This is right, buddy, come down here. They celebrated like they won the cup. And listen, of course they survived, but this is, it's almost like tables turned, isn't it?
It's quite funny, really, Billy, isn't it? You know, fair play to them. They played better than us today and they did what they needed to do. And we'd be celebrating like crazy if it was us. But they have just finished fourth from bottom, for God's sake. You know, it ain't that good. So when they look back at it, it's a very disappointing season for them. But they've done what they need to today. Let's celebrate. And I don't really have a problem with that. I wish they'd get off the fucking pitch, that's for sure. So we can have our celebrations.
Don't really have a problem with it, but did a 40-second monologue they did.
I think he's the guy who told that absolutely rip-roaring anecdote about a Leeds fan in some services watching a goal on his phone. It went on for ages.
Also, we've got a thing here of them saying what they're celebrating for. They finished fourth from bottom. They had a terrible season. I wish they'd get off the pitch so we can celebrate finishing 13th. people celebrate.
It's about manners.
Which is fair enough. If it's their record-breaking best ever finish, isn't it? They've never had a better season than this. Of course you want to celebrate that. We just avoided relegation on the final day in dramatic circumstances. We want to celebrate that. It's fine. So we just happen to be in the same place.
It's about manners though, isn't it?
It is. And
making false equivalents between things.
And somebody praying is apparently impolite.
Mm. Anyway.
No God in Brentford.
They were just here to watch the Leeds though, weren't they? We found out.
We're all here to see Leeds get relegated. Let's leave no doubt about that. But at the end of the day, we're not quite delivered. And, you know, the most annoying bit is that we've got to tolerate another year of Leeds in the Premier League. Oh, I can't stand them, honestly. I really wish they'd gone down. But anyway, it is what it is. If they carry on as they are, they're going down next season.
It's funny because I had similar thoughts, actually. I was thinking, oh, my God. We as an established Premier League force have got to tolerate another year of Brentford being in the Premier League.
Another shit away allocation. What is it, 1,800 tickets?
It's less than that. It's 1,700 because it's important to get your facts, isn't it? Got to be factually accurate. Their capacity, you get just for the record, you get 10% of a stadium's capacity or 3,000 tickets, whichever is lower. So that because they've got that tiny stadium, your away allocation is 1,725 as far as I'm aware.
It's a bit impolite for them to build such a small stadium, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so it can't even accommodate all the people who want to go.
Mate, have you seen the land prices around Kew, though? Very, very expensive.
I mean, just share Loftus Road.
Seems fair, yeah.
I mean, that's a much nicer stadium anyway, so I don't know why you wouldn't want to do that. If they don't want to tolerate the teams that are in the Premier League, don't be in the Premier League. Like they came up. just go back down again. It's easier if you don't like it.
Other teams are more respectful.
Mm.
Certainly in the Championship where you got to play Millwall.
And it's all about handshakes, isn't it, at Millwall? Noted for it.
Good manners at Millwall.
Well, we'll go from Besotted to what I think is definitely Brentford's premier content creators.
B's Leave these two alone. They're lovely.
I'm being sincere.
Okay.
B's TV, I found this one of the most fun watches that I've seen on propaganda all season. For anybody who wants to check them out, it's two young lads. I think they might even be brothers, the pair of them. I can't quite tell.
Like the kids on City Extra.
Yes, and they're just adorable. They're clearly just starting out in what it is. They've obviously seen other like TV channels like Arsenal Fan TV and other outside the stadium kind of talking head bits. And they're doing that and they're building their channel and it sounds like they're having a bloody lovely time. I found this adorable. It's brilliant.
I mean, they want it more than we did. Like, that's the bottom line. We didn't need it. They did. I can't... Yeah.
Man of the match today?
My man of the match. And annoyingly, Calvin Phillips.
Yeah, Leeds, they did really well. They did play really well around us. I mean, Phillips, for one... He's a stray on attacker. That's all I can really say for him. Brentford man of the match.
Brentford man of the match. Well, this is where it gets easier. I'm going to have to say Canos.
What a brilliant... The stats don't lie. 4 minutes, goal, two yellows. Second one, I didn't even see it because we were celebrating. We thought Burnley had scored. Everyone around me was cheering. Nope, it was for Man City.
Why were Brentford fans cheering Man City scoring? Confused. Unless there was just someone said...
A ripple of the score going around or something like... It's 3-2.
They've scored or something.
I mean, it's difficult to try and pass that because I completely forgot Man City and Liverpool were even playing on Sunday. So I don't know why it would enter anybody's consciousness. I guess
it might have been because the Man City fans in the Brentford... People support a big team. Team and the local team.
My Premier League team and my lower league team.
Yeah, so maybe there's that going on.
I have absolute respect for the... Whoever is of those two is nominating Sergei Canos as well. how it's done.
That was the younger lad, and he was just having a good laugh. They're having a great time, and that's why I found it so it's wholesome.
Good appreciation of how Calvin Phillips played as well.
I just enjoy the little when they hit dead ends and they realise and they kind of go, so yeah. It's just great. And I wish them all the best luck in the world. And then this clip, then this is about Raya's mistake, what it said about the game overall, and then some thoughts on the season.
Unlucky as well for David Raya, whose mistake led to the first goal.
That was a shocking mistake.
His mistake kept them up.
I know.
It's hard. I mean,
kept Leeds up.
They did score the goal in the end, but yeah, it's out of character for him.
Probably he messed up the pass and then went in for the shit tackle.
I mean, it kind of sums up the whole game, doesn't it? Yeah. They've been pressuring us from start to finish, and then when they have the ball, they can play it around the back and frustrate. And Jesse Marsh came with a plan, and they executed it to perfection. And in fairness, Leeds fully deserved that today. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah. But that's not what we're focusing. We're focusing on we are Premier League next year.
We are Premier League. No matter how much Leeds will chance, we still did finish above them.
Hey.
I've got to say one thing, though. Some of the language in that, I want to apologise to our listeners. He described David Raya as executing a poo tackle. I don't want to... I don't want to be hearing language like that from these nice young men. I know it may look cool on Arsenal Fans TV, and there was a bit of that in the background as well when they were kind of jeering.
I enjoyed the self-effacing.
That attitude.
The self-effacing stuff as well in there was great. It's what it's all about, isn't it? Stuff like being able to laugh at yourself.
Manners.
Yeah.
Manners, but banter.
And very fair about Leeds as well. Magnanimous in defeat and saying that we executed the game plan perfectly.
Yeah. At the moment, they've got 656 subscribers on YouTube, and I would hope they get a lot more than that
because they're great.
Very soon, because they're doing it well.
On to away days then. Who is this, Michael?
He's a popular YouTuber. Got loads and loads of subscribers, this lad. I've seen him do bits before, but he is a Leeds fan.
Oh, good.
He was in Brighton? Brentford end.
Yeah. They all blur into one, don't they?
Right next to the Leeds fans, which was...
The Brenton end.
The Brenton end. Making it seems online, no one around him was furious, but people online are furious in that the same way that, you know, people want us to be publicly flogged for making fun of a stadium. People online are really cross about this and think he should have had his head kicked in, but everyone around him just let him get on with it.
Was Little Red Riding Hood not actually in the ground to deal out a beating?
I just want
to
say, did you notice when Jackie's goal went, and if you look behind the goal, the number of people who jumped up, clearly Leeds fans in their end.
just great.
Excellent. So this is just for the audio of Leeds scoring the goal and a bit of singing.
So this is what it was like to be there as a Brentford fan next to the Leeds
right
fan.
Next to it. And you can, I like it in the right at the start of it. You can hear the corner and Jackie's shot. You get a nice thump of ball.
Oh, I love which a good
is
lovely.
Is this like a Jive Bunny style mega mix then?
Yes. Yes. I love a thump of ball.
Was that our fans doing that singing?
Yep, it was. Oh, then, right. Then, and singing it in the way that everyone sings Rockin' All Over the World, which is, and here we go, here we go, here we go. Here we go. Rockin' all over the world.
And why were we celebrating and singing though? Because we only stayed up.
I can't remember why.
Maybe next beating year, Brentford, if we finish as high as 13th, we can have a party then. We will have a party permit.
That's the level at which you've... Yeah.
Yeah.
Lucky 13th. Right. Okay. And this is right. This is ESPN Brazil.
I know it was Rafinha, the man of the day, but not his goal because it was a penalty.
I've really enjoyed these as well because we obviously get like Martin Tyler and stuff like that blathering on and Gary Neville whining in our ears with his Manc accent and stuff. This is how the rest of the world enjoys it.
Carrison, goal! Goal! Gol de Leeds! El Leeds de los milagros! El Leeds de los goles en tiempo adicionado! Lo hizo Harrison! Justamente un ex-Manchester City a los 48 minutos del segundo tiempo convierte el gol de la salvación para que apriete el puño Jesse March, para que festejen todos en el Anfield. El equipo de los Whites se queda en la Premier. Lo hizo Harrison. Leeds 2, Brentford 1. En un final inolvidable para Leeds.
Dramático.
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 That was brilliant. I think we got the same sort of vibes, but it just sounds so much better when delivered in Portuguese, doesn't it? It was like the former Man City man has scored the goal to keep them in the Premier League.
You can sort of piece it together.
They'll be celebrating at Elland Road next season.
De La White. Jesse Marsh. Just get...
Dramático.
Dramático.
Reminds me of the Fast Show, wasn't it? Scotchio at the end. So that's Brentford. Right, onto the wider world of propaganda. Obviously, because we weren't the only ones playing on the final day of the Premier League season. I don't know if you know, we were down for relegation at one point. We started the day in the relegation spots. Finished in 17th. No cause for celebration, obviously.
No. Nope.
But it did mean that Burnley were relegated, which is sad for
them.
That's
a cause for celebration.
Yes. So this is...
Well, let's start with Burnley's in-house commentaries. This is like their Bryn and Tony. It's quite a long clip, is this, but...
I'm going to enjoy this, aren't I?
It somehow still feels stressful. I still feel like Burnley are going to score for the majority of it, which is, it's kind of them, it's Brentford equalising, them having chances, and then at the end. But
it's great when you know what the payoff is. It's great, isn't it?
Horrible. It's still stressful.
We've got one back and it was exceptional play and we've had the full pressure on
since. Brentford a level. Brentford 1, Leeds 1. Brentford a level. Now then, Burnley only need one goal.
Right.
That's better.
13 minutes, we need one goal. Wow.
The crowd,
the crowd
now.
Just heard it. The Canos crowd with just a header. Heard it.
And we should have substantial added on time here.
Literally, that now went round like a ripple. Look at that. Everybody back on their feet again now saying, come on. They're going to practically suck the ball in the goal at
but
this
But we've
rate.
Got to get on with the game. The referee's got to get a bit stronger here.
Jack Cork is waving his arms saying, come on, get behind us.
Come on, Burnley, you've got to get the next
he's
goal
through.
Here.
Barnes
with a chance here. Into the middle.
Oh!
Beckhorn was so close.
It was inches. He went right across right across the goal. I mean, literally, he was a boot away from putting it in the back of the net. Dubravka's now on the floor. He's injured now. They're all injured. Dear God. Is there a player that's not injured on the Newcastle side? Trying to slow the game down, trying to break it up, because they know the relentless pressure that he's on from Burnley at the moment means we're going to break through and get a goal and get the equaliser here. They are literally sitting down at every opportunity here.
I think it's almost over here, I'm afraid. Murphy goes past Taylor, going to the byline. He's got Wilson in the middle and can seal it. Good save. Now can Burnley get it forward? It's literally seconds.
Go on.
It's got to go forward from McNeil now. It's got to get it forward, taking his man on. It's going to be a Newcastle throw, and I'm afraid that might be that. Leeds have scored at Brentford. Leeds are staying up. They've scored at Brentford. Brentford 1, Leeds 2. I'm afraid it's over for Burnley.
It's all over.
All over for the Clarets. Leeds have got the win at Brentford. And Burnley have gone down here 2-1 to Newcastle. And that is the final whistle. And Burnley, I'm afraid, are relegated. It's been a real, real fight. They took it to the last day. But Burnley are down to the Championship, I'm afraid. It's been a real battle. But Burnley, I'm afraid, are down.
The hope in their voices, willing it, sucking it into the goal.
I like imagining the contrast with the little Twitter video that Ben Mee filmed on Monday, where he's sat in his house going, yeah, sorry. Don't know what to say, but sorry. Also, I think I'll just leave.
Given the style,
you didn't say that, but you definitely go.
Given the style of play that Burnley have employed as well forever, the fact that they're getting so cross about people like shithousing it as well is a nice bit of poetic justice, I suppose, for the final Premier League game they have.
As well, when he's talking about them fighting until the very end, they didn't. I mean, I've not managed to find... I was quite intrigued if I'd been able to find a source where I was going to watch that match because it sounded fun. But all the stats and stuff from the first half, they did nothing.
Mm.
One corner.
I think second half it picked up.
Yeah, but it had to. Mm. But if that's your... And I don't know if they're going to... If they have a whinge about having to play on Thursday night, but that's because of their COVID call-offs earlier in the season, which, you know, we ended up losing 4-1 to Arsenal because we
played
a bunch of teenagers out. And their equivalent game, they got a point at Aston Villa that they thought was going to be really significant for them. And then they just opened the game against Newcastle and rubbish. So, good.
Well, they were being quite positive. Talk BFC, less so. This is the young lad who was, I think he said he was really drunk the other week. I think he was going through their games the other week going, so we'll lose that, we'll lose that, we'll lose that. They did better than expected. They got a point at Villa, but they did lose the other ones, but he's less impressed with Burnley's efforts this season.
It was bloody appalling, wasn't it? We played awful. We played awful. So shocking that it would seem like we were already safe. You know what I mean? It seemed like we were already safe the way we were playing. Absolutely shocking football by us. And I saw a quote and it perfectly sums up. If you can't get a result at home, but your rivals can get a result away in a game where you both need to really win, then you deserve to go down. And it's true. Leeds, with all the injuries, the red cards, everything going against them, they still put up a good old scrap. And that's all that they did, and they did it well. Fair play to them. Fair, you've got to rate that. Whereas we, at home, sold out crowd on the back foot, a whole first half. Second half picked up a little bit, but shocking. Absolutely shocking.
He sounds hungover, doesn't he? Maybe he stopped drinking. That sounds like the morning after, doesn't it? He sounds really sad. The self-loathing is something to note, I think, in that. This idea that we deserve to stay up. Like, if we were only a goal or two away from the roles being reversed there, and we'd have been indulging in all the self-loathing and saying, oh, well, Burnley, they do this every year. They're now to fight their way out of it. They had enough at the end. Isn't it funny? Football's stupid.
I wondered... If the way everything kind of fell in the last couple of weeks worked in our favour in the end of like the order of who went above who and all that stuff, because we knew on the final day we had to win. It was the only hope, really, because you couldn't rely on messing about with a draw and stuff. It was go to Brentford and win. Whereas what he seems to be suggesting is that Burnley took to the field thinking point will do it. Even if we lose, we could be okay because Leeds won't win. So there's that kind of like lack of focus and, you know, we want credit for Jesse Marsh, his he was showing them, he said in that video that he showed them a video of their last minute winners and stuff, and really got them just focused on the idea of just go and win. And I think that helped us in the end, whereas maybe if we'd have been in Burnley's position on the final day of being like, oh, well, we could lose and still stay up, we might not have got the performance that we did do. So it's just kind of the way everything kind of stacked up towards the end meant that we took to the pitch with clarity mm-hmm. and with a match plan and with one aim in mind and with the motivation and the head full of Gandhi that's just said, just fucking win the match.
That's what I was getting at, I think, in the run-up to this. And I might be, you know, fitting the narrative to suit the evidence and reverse engineering this, but I did wonder, being away from Elland Road and needing to win, your task is a singular one then, isn't it? And you'd obviously not got the whole anxiety of 36,000 people transmitting it onto the players at Elland Road. You're obviously somewhere, I mean, it's still a very, very fierce atmosphere at Brentford, particularly, you know, when they're singing the Beatles, things like that. That's,
I mean, the Griffin is it's a big bird, isn't it?
Mm. Claws.
I used to be frightened of the Midland Bank.
Yes, that was the one before HSBC.
Maybe they can move on to Wings next year for the playlist. Yeah. Stick with the Beatles, the birds, all that sort of stuff.
Excellent. But yeah, no, I think maybe the fixtures maybe suited us on the final day more than them when they've got that home. Because I was listening to it on the radio, like on, it was Talk Sport when I was driving back from my dad's over on the East Coast while the game was on, and I switched it over to Radio Leeds when I got within range of it. But it was Talk Sport for a bit, and they were obviously going back and forth between the grounds. And when they went to Burnley, they did say, like, the crowds turned a little bit here, like the anxiety started to seep into the players. And it's funny how that can happen, isn't it?
It's hilarious.
It is really, it's really funny, Moscow. It is. We made it, didn't we? How the other half lived then? Man City, it turns out, were playing and they won the league title, which I would have probably enjoyed this as a spectacle, the whole back and forth with Liverpool, because there were some rumours going around Liverpool that Man City had gone back to 3-3, wasn't there? Which was funny, kind of equal to the rumours that were going around that maybe there'd been another goal at Turf Moor or whatever, you know, all the stuff we've heard. Not asked about this. One of the best finishes to a Premier League season ever. Not asked.
We are bothered about the lads on City Extra, though, aren't we?
Because they're great. Because
we've grown to like them.
I'm emotionally invested in these two now.
And what's the defining characteristic of their relationship, Moscow?
Is the little brother, who I don't think they are actually related, but just always agrees with everything that his big brother says. And he's always like, yeah, I was about to say that. Yeah, oh, you're dead right, I was about to say that.
Well, let's see if it continued into the final day. This is them going 2-0 down.
Another chance here. 2-0.
2-0.
2-0, man. I didn't even fucking see it because Sky keep on showing me something in an irrelevant football match in Tottenham where they're already 2-0 up and I'm seeing Son and we've lost 2-0. That's it. I think the title's over. I think Liverpool will come back and win that. And I think we've fucked it. We've fucking fucked it.
We've fucked it.
We've absolutely, royally fucked it.
We've fucked it. We've absolutely fucked it.
I think we've fucked the league, lads.
Just when you think they're finished.
That's great. Every time he says it, agree with him. Great stuff. Anyway, they won the league, so
yeah, they'll be alright in the long run, won't they?
Good for them.
Another sports washing success story. Bring it on. Don't we love the Premier League?
Liverpool fans were really surprisingly alright about it. I went on to find some of them being furious, but they were kind of like, well, fair play.
When you're up against Man City, aren't you expect them to win against Villa, even though they made hard work of it. Ah, well, there you go, propaganda done for this season. It's been fun at times. At other times, not so much.
Yeah, let's win some more games next year.
That does make all of it a lot easier, doesn't it? If we can upset, I mean, who's coming up? So it's going to be either Forest or Huddersfield. Neither of them like us. We've got Bournemouth who've come up, Fulham. So, I mean, they're both...
Bournemouth lovers, don't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Long-standing friendship there. Yeah.
Have we still got the banner?
I think so. It'd be nice if we could actually play there on a weekend rather than the obvious midweek round of fixtures. I'm going to predict that the Amazon round of fixtures that happens in it's not because we've got the World Cup. Can't do it, can they?
But just put us opening day of the season away at Bournemouth. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on, Premier League.
A nice sunny day.
Let us have a go. It'll be fine this time. Different times.
We've been there plenty of times in the past.
Yeah. On a Tuesday, yes.
Yeah, we're very well behaved.
Yeah, we've all grown up since then. And yeah, Fulham. That's always a decent away day, isn't it? It's good fun. Their fans are fairly safe. It's very, very similar in tone to Brentford, isn't it, really?
Forest would be good because they've at least got a stadium big enough to fit like more than two away fans. So that'll be good so that fans of other teams actually don't essentially have to just skip a game during the season.
Skip again.
Well, this is it. You book down like, oh, we can have full allocation.
Get tickets to that one.
All these
one.
Grounds. Yeah, and then there's one match. Oh, I cannot go and watch my football team there because the ground isn't big enough.
Right. There you go. Then that's propaganda for this season, a season in which we preserved our Premier League status. Not a
easily.
Cause, not a cause for celebration.
With room to spare. What is it, about 4 points? Five, six? We stayed up by in the end?
Something like that, Moscow. Propaganda will return in its present form anyway, particularly with the away clips. We can do that properly next season, can't we? Because we've got plenty of fan channels. I look forward more than anything to hearing the progress that Bees TV make over the next 12 months and how their style develops for when we play them next.
It'll be all CGI by next year, I reckon.
No, they'll probably be, if they do have a season like ours next season, they'll probably be heroin addicts by this time next year.
But yeah, great bunch of lads, excellent content creators, Bees TV. Best of luck, lads. And we'll see you on the other side then. Enjoy the summer break. More propaganda will return for the 22-23 Premier League season. We'll see you in a bit.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.